This is John Walden, Colorado Springs. We're going to begin now a series of studies in the book of the Hebrews. This is a very wonderful passage of Scripture. It has some difficult places in it. We're not going to be able to cover it verse by verse, but we're going to take the first chapter today and see what we can learn about it. Now, most of the epistles begin with the name of the person who wrote it. We don't even know who wrote this one. And it begins, in our King James Version at least, with the name of God. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So the great subject of the book of Hebrews is the Lord Jesus himself. The first chapter tells us especially about his deity, that the Lord Jesus Christ is really and truly fully God. The second chapter tells us about his humanity, that he was a real man, that he had true humanity. He was like us, except that he had no sin. The first chapter of Hebrews is one of four very wonderful chapters in the New Testament that tell us about the deity of the Lord Jesus. John 1, Colossians 1, Hebrews 1, and the Revelation chapter 1. Maybe you'd like to read those others together with this. John, Colossians, Hebrews, and Revelation, the first chapter of each one. Now God has spoken to us in these last days by his Son, or literally in his Son. Seven things are said about the Lord Jesus here in these first three verses. Let me notice them with you. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things. The Lord Jesus has a right to everything. John 1 tells us that he made everything, and that everything was made for him, as well as by him. And so, the rest of this verse says, by whom also he made the worlds. He is the heir of all things, he's the creator of all things. The third thing about him is that he is the brightness of God's glory. Now, that's literally the outshining. A good many things have brightness. A mirror has brightness. It reflects other light. But a flashlight has brightness, and the brightness comes from the inside of it because there's power in there. And that's the kind of brightness he's talking about here. The outshining of the glory of God was because the Lord Jesus was God. He is God. And then he is said to be the express image of his person, or he is the exact expression of God's character. We know exactly what God is like because we know what the Lord Jesus is like. John 1:18 says, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has told him out. Then we're told in verse 3 that he upholds all things by the word of his power. The Lord Jesus is not only the creator, but he's the one who keeps things together. The first chapter of Colossians says, by him all things consist or hang together. So the Lord Jesus is the upholder of all things. The sixth thing said about him is that when he had by himself purged our sins. I don't know how much you realize about the uncleanness of sin, but God's word repeatedly tells us that we need to be purged or cleansed from sin. Sin is a terrible thing. Sin is an insult to God. Water can never wash our sins away. Good works can never take our sins away. Giving a little bit to the church now and then can never take your sins away. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. The Lord Jesus by himself purged our sins by the offering of himself. And he did it alone. There isn't anything that you and I can do to add to this. It's a finished work. And the seventh thing is that he sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. The Lord Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, a triumphant, risen Savior. Now these seven things are true about him. And then he proceeds to say in verse 4 that he is made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. The Lord Jesus in the book of Hebrews is said to be much better than angels, much better than the prophets, much better than Moses, much better than Aaron. The Lord Jesus is the best. And he is said to be so much better here in chapter 1 because he has so much better name. And he quotes from the Old Testament, a number of Old Testament passages. If you have a marginal reference, you can look them up. For instance, the first one here in verse 5 is quoted from Psalm 2, the second Psalm. Unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son? He never said that to the angels. The Lord Jesus is not an angel. He was not created. He was the eternal son of the eternal Father. That's not a matter of generation. That's a matter of relation. He was always, eternally, the son. The Lord Jesus Christ, then, is called my Son. This day have I begotten thee. That is, when he was publicly recognized at his resurrection, then this was true of him. By the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, he is recognized as the Son. And again, and here he's quoting from another Old Testament passage, 89th Psalm, again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Here again, it's relationship, you see, not generation. And again, when he bringeth, or when he again bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers, or servants, a flame of fire. They're called servants again in verse 14. Are they not all ministering or serving spirits sent forth to minister or to serve for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So angels are servants. But verse 8 says, unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Now don't accept any of these revisions that try to rob the Lord Jesus of his glory. This is a good, accurate translation. Unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, the Lord Jesus Christ is God. And then in verse 10, he says, and thou, Lord, and this is the word Jehovah. You can look back at Psalm 102 yourself and read it. And thou, Jehovah, this is what he says to the Lord Jesus. Thou, Jehovah, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands, and so on. So the Lord Jesus is called by the names of deity. He claimed prerogatives of deity. He claimed that he knows everything. He claimed that he has all power. He claimed that he can be present everywhere at once in his state now in heaven. And he claimed eternal existence before the world. And he accepted worship many times in the Gospels. And he claimed the ability to forgive sins, which no man has. And he used the very names of deity. In John's Gospel, 8 times he used the term I Am, which is one of the names of God. And then the Lord Jesus claimed that he could change men's lives. And he did it, too. Whatever claims he made, he certainly proved that he was able to do what he claimed he could do. He claimed that he could give peace and joy and comfort. He claimed absolute identity with the Father. Why, he even claimed that his words were the words of God and that they would endure forever. So the Lord Jesus Christ is God. Now the Lord Jesus came into this world and never ceased to be God, but he came and became man in order that he might die for man. The Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal Son, and no one else could be our Savior. No one man could die for the sins of all other men, even if he was a sinless man. But our Savior was more than a man. He was the eternal Son of God. Now never forget this. Your salvation depends on it. And if you're a child of God, you want to be sure to honor the Lord Jesus as God himself honors him. He gives him this place, and you and I want to give him that same place. In verse 13, he says, to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord Jesus is now seated at the right hand of God. Until when? Until his enemies are made his footstool. Not all the people in this world have accepted Christ. Perhaps not all who are listening to my voice just now have accepted him. That means that so far you're counted among his enemies. Well, you may not be actively fighting, but you're still an alien. You're still on the wrong side. The Lord Jesus said, "He that is not for me is against me." I wish you'd change sides right now. I wish you'd take the Lord Jesus for your Savior. I wish you would accept him and come out for him and no longer be numbered among his enemies, but be counted one of his friends. He said to his own, "I have called you friends." Which are you? A friend of the Lord Jesus or an enemy? Have you received him as your Savior? Have you trusted him as the one who purged your sins? If you can say yes to this, then I'm sure that you want to join with me in giving the Lord Jesus his rightful place. The eternal Son, the one who is addressed as O God, the one who is called Thou Lord or Jehovah, and the one who sits at the right hand of the Father waiting for that time until his enemies are made his footstool. The Lord Jesus then is our Savior. He's our keeper. He's our friend. He's our guide. And we are the heirs of salvation. Because we are the sons of God, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. God has some wonderful things to offer to you. If you haven't accepted them, take his Son so that they may all be yours just now. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, in the precious name of thy dear Son, we give thee our thanks that we have come to know him through thy word, that we have come to trust him as the one who loved us and died for us and rose again. We thank thee that soon we shall see him on the throne. Bless thy word, we pray, in his name. Amen.